This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, I was kicking myself after this show yesterday. God, we had our best content of the whole morning right here in the 6 o'clock hour of this show. You know, you could just never really plan what's going to happen and what you're going to talk. We had some great content later in the morning. Don't get me wrong. Some great phone calls and more. But, oh, man, we had so much fun with the Al Gore Zoo in, what was it, Denmark, and then they're eating the dogs, they're eating the cats, and playing that old throwback video from the 2024 elections. Yes, sometimes I'm just like, man, it's like, we have way too much fun in the 6 o'clock hour of this show. We gotta hold it back. We got to save it for the 9 o'clock hour, a little bit later in the morning, you know, when our friends in Glendive and Plentywood and Malta and Lewistown and Missoula and everybody else gets to join us as well. We have way too much fun here in the early morning hours of the show. But now we got to just roll right into it. We had a great 9 o'clock hour of the show coming up for you. Of course, Freedom Friday, George Blackard in the 8 o'clock hour. Becky Hill, you're looking at the bright side in the 7 o'clock hour. We're going to check in on the big Legion baseball tournament going on right now with some great guests that our producer Caden Bjornstedt lined up. They'll be joining us in studio in the 7 o'clock hour of the show as well. We got to have some fun here in the city. Oh, and then, yeah, the 9 o'clock hour. Man, I'll tell you what, we've got some of the legends in the rodeo business, the Montana legends in the rodeo business that are going to be in town for Rodeo Billings. So great show coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. But we got to have a little bit of fun here. We got to have, you know, Jazzy Crockett is back in the news. This was a song that I played. And I did. I held back. I was like, okay, I want to use this in the 6 o'clock hour, but no, I'm going to save it for the 9 o'clock hour. So we saved it for, what was it, Wednesday maybe? I think it was Wednesday. We're like, okay, I'm going to save this song for the 9 o'clock hour in honor of Jazzy Crockett, because she is back in the news in a big way right now.
Top in Tennessee, green estate in the land of the free, raised in the woods so he knew every tree, built him a barn when he was only three.
Davy Crockett, king of the wild frontier,
fought single-handed through
the... Hey, you guys remember that song? You remember that one? Man, I felt like that was playing all the time when I was a kid back in the 1980s. And so whenever I hear about Jazzy Crockett, I always think of Davy Crockett, but of course, two completely different people. She is a complete phony, but yes, she's in the news right now again. Here's the Fox News headline, and I think the New York Post is the one that really broke this story open, but it's hard to print stories off of the New York Post website. So New York Post, I'm going to talk about the FoxNews.com piece because it's easier to print a story from FoxNews.com. So New York Post, make your stories a little easier to print off your freaking website. All right, random 6:09 a.m. Rant on that one. But Diva Crockett, not Davy Crockett, Diva Crockett slammed in scathing report alleging toxic staff environment where staff is berated to tears. Wait till you hear this one. Oh, and about the Escalade as well. That was pretty good.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman, with a mix of clouds and sun and a chance for some scattered showers and storms yet today. High temperature readings will range from around 71 in Bozeman to the upper 70s in Billings. For tonight, partly cloudy skies expected. Temperatures head back in the mid-40s in Bozeman, mid-50s in Billings. There was sunshine Saturday, mid-70s in Bozeman, 83 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
Thursday was Purple Heart Day, marking the anniversary of the day George Washington created the military honor in 1782. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth releasing a video in honor of the more than 1.8 million service members who have received the Purple Heart.
Each one of them sacrificing for us, for our country, and for our security.
Hegseth was joined on the video by Assistant Defense Secretary Sean Parnell, who received the Purple Heart while serving in Afghanistan. Parnell saying this about Purple Heart recipients.
We remember not just the medals pinned to their chests, but the scars etched into their stories.
Parnell adding that those service members represent the best of America and that we owe them the fulfillment of this goal.
To build a nation worthy of their sacrifice, where every citizen stands a little taller because they showed us how.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, here we go. Yeah, Diva Crockett. Diva Crockett, Democrat Representative Jasmine Crockett. Jazz hands, everybody. Jazz hands, one of the most prominent anti-Trump voices in Congress, is the subject of a scathing report this week that labels her as a diva and someone who terrorizes staff members. Several congressional aides who worked for or with Crockett told the New York Post this week that Crockett described the firebrand congresswoman as rude and rarely present in her Washington, D.C. office, except when the cameras are rolling. Quote, she is laying around her apartment, won't come into the office, and is really just indifferent to staff and will scream at them, one former aide told the outlet, adding that Crockett is never in the office and very disengaged. The former staffer added that Crockett freaks out over the most random things. Another source that is widely known, the Crockett mistreats staff and is a diva that is focused almost exclusively on being an influencer. Anyway, one of the things I heard Lawrence Jones talking about this story on Fox and Friends earlier this morning, he was talking about how, you know, most members of Congress or senators, they have their own personal vehicles and they will allow their staff to drive them, you know, pick them up in their personal vehicles. But no, Jasmine Crockett does not want that. She does not want that. She demands that they rent a Cadillac Escalade to pick her up, and she also demands that when they pick her up, they better be standing outside of the car holding the door open for her. That's the Diva Crockett here. And it's kind of funny too, because I think it was Kevin McCarthy, former speaker Kevin McCarthy, was on with, I think he was on with Jesse Waters last night, and he was talking about how Jasmine Crockett is a totally different person now. She, because she's such a phony and she pretends to be somebody that she's not. And so because she gets more attention by acting the way that she's acting now. So she loves the celebrity style attention that she is getting right now. So that's what's feeding Diva Crockett here. But then it was really funny. Speaking of Kevin McCarthy being on with Jesse Waters last night, Jesse Waters says, well, you know, I'll bet, you know, during your years in Congress, you've run into quite a few divas who exhibit similar diva-like behavior. Anybody come to mind in particular? Okay, come on, audio. Here we go. All right, there we go. Here we go.
Well, I watched. There were a couple members. Some have passed away now. The exact same thing, where the staff had to sit outside the apartment with the car running, and it was just two blocks away where I'd walk from my apartment to the Capitol. They would literally get to be able to walk onto the airplane, carry the suitcase, and put it up. And this one member, she was from Texas as well, and she was a Democrat woman, and she got off the plane one time just because she wanted to make another phone call. They closed the door. She was pounding on it, and the pilot literally took her purse, because it was on the plane, put it out the window, and dropped it. And she got banned from flying that airline ever again.
Was it Sheila Jackson Lee?
I think you know who we're talking about.
K-Mac, Oh, my God. That's a good one. I'll see you soon.
All right. There you go. Yes, Jesse Waters last night. Let's see. The DailyCaller.com also has a story here saying Crockett has a history of contentious behavior toward her colleagues, reportedly screams at her staff in the rare times that she is present at the workplace. So they're picking up on this this big New York Post story all the way. Here's another quote. She is laying around her apartment and won't come into the office and is really just indifferent to staff and will scream at them. And remember, these are the aides who are Democrats themselves that are calling her out for this. Apparently, The Atlantic, Elaine Godfrey, published a profile on Crockett as well here, according to The Daily Caller. And Elaine Godfrey, who writes for the left-wing Atlantic, said that she witnessed the congresswoman call her staff and scold him for an unclear note on her schedule during an interview at the Waldorf on a separate occasion when an aide handed her a paper bag full of food from a fundraiser. Crockett scrunched her nose and said, "This looks like crap." Pretty funny stuff. But I'm with Jesse Waters on this. Or maybe it was Lawrence Jones. Lawrence Jones said that Jesse Crockett is his favorite member of Congress because she just makes the Democrats look so silly, look so crazy. And so it just helps Trump and it just helps the Republicans. All right, but what about Mamdani? What about the commie Mamdani? I think the commie Mamdani will help Republicans elsewhere across the country, especially in the midterm elections. He's the communist candidate for mayor of New York City. But I got to say, I think Katie Pavlich is right. This is where I slightly disagree with our friend John Jackson, who joins us on Tuesday. John Jackson's like, yeah, let the commie Mamdani win. Let New York go down in flames. You know, basically, they get what they deserve. And like drug dealers, until they hit rock bottom, when are they ever going to turn around? But I don't know. I think that's a virus that spreads. Minneapolis, Seattle, and they're going to consume more cities. And, you know, some people just fall for this, you know, communist free garbage. And so I'm kind of with Katie Pavlich from townhall.com on this one, that no, they have got to do whatever they can to crush this commie in New York City, this commie Mamdani and his campaign. So anyway, maybe we'll get to that next. Maybe we'll get to something else. Who knows? It's the 6 o'clock hour of the show. We have fun covering a whole bunch of ground. Plus, we take your phone calls as well, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app if you want to shoot us a quick message that way as well. Yeah, because we've got a big lineup here all morning long.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Swing districts are rare these days. The Cook Political Report says of the nation's 435 House districts, 365 are solidly in the Republican or Democratic column. That means primary voters elect most House members. Those voters head to the polls at significantly lower rates than general election voters. Primary voters always skew toward the party base. Only 7% of all voters participated in primaries in 2024. That helped decide 87% of all seats, according to the election reform group Unite America. House seats used to be a lot more competitive. Gerrymandering had a major role ahead of the 2012 elections. Legislatures in Virginia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Texas, and other states aggressively redrew lines to favor Republicans. That year, Democrats won 1.4 million more House votes, but Republicans championed 33 more seats. The number of competitive races, with the margins lower than 10 percentage points, dropped to only 62 out of 435. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Man, this was crazy. So Justin Bieber, the pop music star, showed up at a legendary burger joint in Great Falls, the Roadhouse Diner, and somebody paid $300 to buy the seat cushion that he sat on. We got a great phone call from Danica, one of the waitresses at the diner, on Thursday's Montana Talks. Coming up on Friday, we got another great show for you. Sparky Dreesen, Bob Tomlin, and more talking rodeo in Montana. Friday's Montana Talks, right here.
Ma, is this how you feed a hamster?
I think so.
Is my homework right?
I think so.
Is this milk still good?
I think so.
When it comes to parenting, sometimes it's okay to think you know. But when it's something as important as your child's car seat, don't just think. Know. Double check if your child is in the right seat for their age and size. It'll help protect them in a car crash. Don't just think. Know by visiting nhtsa.gov/the right seat. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
It's time. Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, the U.S. cattle industry continues to watch the northward movement of New World screwworm and efforts by the USDA and its counterpart in Mexico to hopefully prevent it from spreading into the United States. And during the recent U.S. Cattlemen's Association summer business meeting in Billings, Montana, I talked with USCA President Justin Tupper out of St. Ange, South Dakota, about this new health threat for America's cattle producers.
Well, I think, you know, especially for our southern folks, the New World screwworm is first and foremost on their minds, and I think it's a very relevant topic, and we've got to be, I'm not sure it's, if it gets here, it's probably when, just because of the way it moves, and so I think we've got to be prepared for that, and we appreciate Secretary Rollins and her hard work in making sure that our industry partners in Mexico and us are going to be taken care of through this pandemic, or whatever you want to call it, with the screwworm.
And he says that USCA continues to push hard for mandatory country of origin labeling so consumers have the choice to buy U.S. beef over imported beef.
It is, and I think as we go through these times when we're importing way more than we ever have been, I mean, imports are up 35-40% year over year, and that was up at the highest levels a year ago. We've got to make sure that the first, the food safety issues are there, and second, that the consumer knows what he's buying, and we want to make sure that they have the choice. It's not that we want to be isolationists in this world, but we want to make sure the consumer has choice, and we think our American beef's the safest, best protein on the planet, and we want to keep it that way.
Now, the U.S. Cattlemen's Association is also working with Congress and the Trump administration to address concentration in the U.S. meatpacking industry. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
Forage grown with in-soil algae at Reminis Ranch has shown verified increases in vitamin A and E by 162% and 68% respectively. Algae-treated pasture has boosted conception rates, improved immune health, and increased steer weight, enabling a significant reduction in mineral supplements and chemical fertilizer. In-soil algae and Reminis Ranch, healthy soils for better beef and healthier people. Find us at remangus.com.
Pulse Growers Market Access starts with you. From the field to the elevator, it's critical to keep it clean. Follow pre-harvest intervals, use only registered products, and ensure equipment is free from treated seed or residues. Delivering a load with contaminants can lead to costly rejections and jeopardize markets for all of us. Quality isn't optional, it's our shared responsibility. A message from the Northern Pulse Growers Association, working together to protect our markets and your bottom line.
Well, Senators Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota and John Hoeven of North Dakota have reintroduced the Promoting Rural Exports Act, bipartisan legislation formally establishing a National Rural Exports Center. It would also authorize the creation of up to 9 regional rural export centers. They say the bill aims to help businesses in rural America increase their exports by improving access to international markets. It would also require the rural export center to be located at an existing Commerce Department office outside of major metropolitan areas. And as we all know, these international markets are very important to our U.S. farmers and ranchers. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so this is, I think, an interesting discussion. So John Jackson, the Joker from X, was with us on Tuesday. Always have a great time with John Jackson in the house. But, you know, when we talk about the Kami Mamdani, or you look at the mayor of Chicago, how could you find somebody worse than Lori Lightfoot? Well, they found him. You know, John's strategy is like, hey, you know what? more of it. Bring it on. I'm trying to think of the exact phrase that he uses. But basically, he's like, you know what? These people keep voting for this. They can suffer the consequences. And so I think where he's coming from is as a guy who has, you know, gone after drug dealers and things like that in his federal law enforcement career. He's looking at like, look, until these people hit rock bottom, they're never going to turn away from their addiction to the Democrat Party and to these far left Democrat socialists. And so, he may be right on that front, but you would think that some of these cities have already hit rock bottom, but apparently they don't think this is rock bottom yet. But Katie Pavlich, she kind of takes a different approach. Basically, her concern is that, like, look, the problem is you got these, you know, young, you know, some people consider attractive candidates in Seattle or New York City who are telling these people everything they want to hear. Free this, free that. You're going to have cheap groceries because we're going to create government grocery stores. We all know that will end in failure. But what she's saying is that this could spread, this could take on and consume other cities and potentially other states in the process. Here we go. This is Katie Pavlich. She was on with Hannity last night.
Well, look, I guess we are not learning from history here with trying these old ideas like communism, which starved 100 million people. But when it comes to Zora Mondani putting himself up against someone like Donald Trump, you know, Donald Trump is a guy who employed tens of thousands of people in New York City and built housing, hotels, employed countless union workers, built a reputation with the working class in that city, signed the front of paychecks, not the back of paychecks. And Zora Mondani thinks that he has the idea of comparing himself to someone like Donald Trump, who has built an empire and helped people feed their families for decades. He wants to tear down the city. He wants to tear down the things that made New York great. He wants to tear down the economy and the economic system that makes America a wonderful place that everybody in the world wants to come to. Look no further than all these countries that are clamoring to get trade deals with the White House because they want the market here. They don't want a socialist system. There's nothing to offer them when it comes to those socialist systems. They want innovation, they want technology, they want capitalism, and they're coming to the United States to get it. And
all right, let's hold it right there. Then she makes, I think, the point about the virus spreading. We'll get to that here in 60 seconds after the Fox News update. Plus, the great historian Victor Davis Hanson weighs in on the commie Mamdani and all the isms that have failed so many over the centuries as well. Katie Pavlich from townhall.com on with Hannity last night talking about the commie Mamdani and the Democrats and the support for the commie Mamdani amongst the Democrat Party. She was pointing out how, look, people flee all of these other countries to come to America for the freedom and the economic opportunity here. And yet
you have people like James Carville, who was supposed to be a moderate Democrat in the 90s, talking about the threat to democracy, taking over entire institutions. When they talk about the threat to democracy, that's simply code for destroying a republic and ensuring that Democrats have political rule as a one-party system for the rest of eternity, where Republicans have no say. And you can look no further than the gerrymandering that we've seen all over the country for proof of that. I mean, it's outrageous that in California, for example, 40% vote goes to Republicans, yet there's only 17% of the seats go to them in Washington, D.C. Connecticut, 38% of the vote goes to Republicans, on a single congressional seat in that state that represents Republicans. That's not democracy. That's tyranny ruled by the majority that has rigged the system in their favor when they can't win elections based on the merits.
All right. But, you know, in terms of the concept that I think she spoke to later in that interview, of the fact of the virus spreading. Remember when Washington State used to be, you know, elect Republicans? Remember when Colorado used to elect Republicans? Look at the way the virus has spread and led to destruction in both of those states. So that's why you've got to combat the commie Mamdani, I think, and not just sit here and say, it's New York, let them suffer. They voted for it, you know, until they hit rock bottom. That's why I believe that folks have got to unite and attack this communist threat on American soil. Let's see, Victor Davis Hanson, here you go, in that same segment with Sean Hannity.
and Katie Pavlich.
Yeah, I'm confident in the American people. The lesson of the 24 election was that Kamala Harris moved too far left. All these left-wing people can say what they want, but they know that they're on 40-60 on the wrong side of the issues. They have no Congress. They have no White House. They have no Supreme Court. They need to go back and look at 92 and 96 and look at the Democratic agenda that Mark helped write, that gave them 8 years of rule. That's the real story. As far as Carville, he's delusional. I mean, if they had a regular president under Biden rather than Biden, and they hadn't lost the House and Senate, they were prepared to pack the court, to get rid of the Electoral College, to end the filibuster. They were radical. They just lost power. And he's talking about, all these people are talking about dictatorial and authoritarian government. Never in the history of the American presidency have we impeached a president twice, tried him as a private citizen, tried to get him off the ballot in 25 states, raided his home with the FBI SWAT team, and have had coordinated local, state, and federal prosecutors for 93 indictments. That's pretty revolutionary. And that's what they did. Well, so it's not that they're not zealous enough. They're pretty radical as it is.
All right. Hey, you heard James Carville mentioned a couple of times here, both by VDH and by Katie Pavlich. So what did James Carville say that led to those remarks? I better start there after this.
It's morning in Montana. Vina Talks with Aaron Flint.
Ah, we got a great message here from Tim and Savage. Before I get to that, though, can I just say one thing? You guys tell me if you agree. So, great news update there from our friend Dennis Bragg with the Montana State News Network. But does it bother anybody else that there's always this emphasis on the Anaconda shooting suspect? Like, you know, the opening sentence, Army veteran, when an Army veteran walked into a bar. Did the guy serve in the Army? Yes. Wasn't it like 20 years ago he served in the Army for a few years, right? If the guy graduated from MSU 20 years ago, would we open up every news story about the shooting suspect, when a Montana State University alum walked into a bar and shot, you know what I mean? I just throw that out there because, like, you can make an argument for, hey, you need to look and find out if there, if the fact that he didn't get mental health treatment tied into this or whatever, or if the schizophrenia that they claim he has was pre-existing. But I really appreciated the fact that earlier this week when we had Attorney General Austin Knutson on the show, he made the point. He's like, he said, Aaron, look, you're a veteran. He says, you and I have known each other for a long time. He says, I've got other friends that are veterans. And by the way, he's got some friends that are veterans that have some incredible backgrounds, because Austin Knutson is a really good, competitive shooter and just loves the Second Amendment rights and everything. And so he knows some incredible veterans. He's like, I know veterans who have seen some stuff, and they don't walk into a bar and shoot four people, and, whether they have, post-traumatic stress or not, right? And so I really appreciated the fact that he made that point because, random coming out of the break comment there. You can message me on the Montana Talks app or call in if you've got a thought on that one. Maybe we'll bring it up with George Blackard for Freedom Friday later on in the 8 o'clock hour as well. But Tim and Savage had a great message. We opened up the show this morning talking about Diva Crockett, Jasmine Crockett down there in Texas. He says this about Diva Crockett. Why is it that the communist elite blame the rest of the world for being elitist when they out-elite everyone? Oh, yeah, they love to. They love pandering to the working class, don't they? This is typical communism. They pander and they cater their talking points to the working class, all so that they can become the ruling class, all so that they can be the only elites who have all the nice things, and then everybody else has nothing. We've seen this time and time again with the communists, haven't we? Great point there by Tim and Savage. Okay, so what did James Carville say that triggered those comments by Katie Pavlich and by Victor Davis Hanson?
Jesse Waters had another great segment last night, and he was talking about, you know, this whole Texas redistricting. I would call it a battle, but do you call it a battle when one side of the fight completely flees the battlefield and retreats three or four states away? Is that a battle, or when one side is totally retreated? Anyway, yeah, James Carville is saying, hey, look, forget about just redistricting. It's a war, Larry. The Democrats have to go even further, is what he is saying. And by the way, when you hear what James Carville is going to say here, just remember that had far left Democrat Senator John Tester gotten reelected last year, had Joe Biden, or well, Kamala Harris, after they kicked Joe Biden to the curb, had Kamala Harris gotten elected last year, this is exactly what the Democrats would be doing to America right now.
Barack Obama has been very quiet, but he came out with a blistering attack on Texas. Barry knows the raging Cajun is taking this so seriously that he's threatening to colonize an island.
If the Democrats win the presidency, the Senate and the House in 2028, which is not impossible, they are just going to have to unilaterally add Puerto Rico and the District of Columbia states, and they may have to expand the court to 13 members. If you want to save democracy, I think you got to do all of those things.
Pack the court, add two Democrat states, 52 stars on the flag. Why? Just because Texas is redrawing some lines?
Great point there by Jesse Waters. But yeah, this is exactly everything, all those outrageous things that you just heard from James Carville are all the outrageous things supported by former Democrat Senator John Tester. Now, you might be saying, Aaron, why are you even bringing up old flip-flop, flat-top? He's out. He's gone. He's got his little side hustle on MSNBC. He's taking Ozempic now, you know, or something like that. Because people need to be reminded what would have happened so that the next time some phony, fake, moderate Democrat comes around and does the old whistle zippers, all zippy skippy do, the old prospector ads to pretend to be some, you know, old moderate, well, I just work out on my farm and blah, blah, blah. You don't fall for that BS ever again, because everything that James Carville just said is everything that would be happening right now if Kamala and Tester had been in power instead of Donald Trump and Tim Sheehy. Now, what about redistricting? I had a great message that came in yesterday from Morgan in Helena. And Morgan, I'm sorry, I didn't get to it right when it came in. I meant to, but then we started talking about, you know, blue-collar jobs and trades education, and that's what lit up the phone line. So we just kept rolling with that topic. I thought I was going to talk more about redistricting. But so what about redistricting? You know, talking about Texas. President Trump is talking about ordering a new census to, you know, replace that very flawed 2020 census. I think Stephen Miller said that Republicans actually would be up 20 seats if there was an accurate census, and especially a census that didn't go against the founders' intent in our Constitution and count illegal aliens. So what about Montana and redistricting? What if there was a new census and then we had to redistrict Montana again? Morgan and Helena said this, and I think this is more specifically focused on legislative redistricting versus congressional redistricting now that we have two seats. Here is a suggestion regarding Montana redistricting: a constitutional change to increase the legislative seats, 56 Senate seats, one from each county. Increase the House seats to 112, minimum one from each county. The remainder is based on population percent and apportioned according to already established boundary, such as city limits. And then she also added this: take the courts out of the, basically, of the redistricting process. Okay, first off, yeah, wouldn't it be interesting if we had a state Senate and a state House that mirrored what the founders so perfectly envisioned with our Congress, where you would have Senate based off of states and you would have the House based off of population, so that the
the massive urban centers wouldn't just completely trample on the rural areas. Well, why wouldn't that same thing work here in Montana, especially as we see massive population centers growing, at least in Montana, you know, from our perspective as Montanans. You see the massive growth in Bozeman, Missoula, et cetera. Well, why should they have more power to trample over? Why shouldn't there be some sort of a balance of power so you don't trample on the more rural areas, eastern Montana in particular, or parts of southwest Montana in particular as well, right? Northwest Montana, too. So, but to that, to her point, though, about taking the courts out of the process, Jeff Essman, former Senate Majority Leader, former Montana GOP chair, I actually kind of reached out to him to get his thoughts. I'd love to hear Dan Stusek's thoughts as well. They were both Republican appointees on the Redistricting Commission. Remember, for redistricting in Montana, Republicans get two picks, the Democrats get two picks. If they can't decide on the chair of that Redistricting Commission, the Montana Supreme Court picks the chair. So what do the Democrats do? Kick their heels, throw a temper tantrum. Oh, we can't agree on a chair. And then the left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court picks another Democrat to be the chair and have the majority on the Redistricting Commission. That's why it's such a train wreck here in Montana. But to Morgan's point, I totally agree. How do we get the Supreme Court out of the redistricting process altogether? Well, one, hey, maybe we just get people like Dan Wilson elected next year and we start building a common sense majority on the Montana Supreme Court, and then problem solved. Number two, maybe we just take them out of the process altogether. Maybe we do a constitutional initiative that says, hey, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do what Washington State does, I think is what Jeff Essman told me. The Republicans get two picks, the Democrats get two picks. And you figure it out. You come together and you figure out who the chair is going to be. And then they have to figure it out. I mean, that seems like a good approach. Now, if I were the Democrats, given the change that's taking place in Montana to becoming a permanent red state and the eventual fall of the far-left Montana Supreme Court, if I was the Democrats, I might take that compromise now instead of wait to see what happens later.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Now you got Marxist Mamdani. You know, guy can't condemn global intifada. The guy that wants to put higher taxes in rich, whiter neighborhoods, tax people according to their race. This is the guy that wants to defund, dismantle the police. You got Jasmine Crockett. You've got Grandpa Bernie. You've got Pocahontas. They are the modern Democratic Party. Do you doubt that these people, if given power, that they would not try to pack the courts, the Supreme Court? Do you doubt that they would not act unilaterally to add Puerto Rico and D.C. and declare statehood for both of them so they could gain four Senate seats so that they can keep power in perpetuity?
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
Hey, if you're sending your child off to college this fall, make sure you give them more than a backpack and a laptop. You need to give them peace of mind. This world is a very dangerous place. Go to Byrna, B-Y-R-N-A. It is the less lethal launcher, and it is the ultimate off-campus protection without the legal, financial, or emotional burden of using a firearm. I carry one every single day. I recommend anyone concerned about personal safety or the safety of their family, you need one as well. By the way, it's legal in all 50 states. They can ship it straight to your door. And don't forget, over 500 government agencies now are using this incredible technology because you can incapacitate any perpetrator for 30 to 40 minutes. Legal all 50 states, no background check required, and it fires those kinetic rounds. Just go to BYRNA.com, all hand assembled in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Visit Byrna, BYRNA.com today and find the right launcher for your family. That's BYRNA.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman, with a mix of clouds and sun and a chance for some scattered showers and storms yet today.
High temperature readings will range from around 71 in Bozeman to the upper 70s in Billings. For tonight, partly cloudy skies expected. Temperatures head back in the mid-40s in Bozeman, mid-50s in Billings. There was sunshine Saturday, mid-70s in Bozeman, 83 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This was a stunning admission by legislative Democrats here in Montana in a leaked memo that we have now obtained and are featuring for you on our Montana Talks website right now. The Montana Democrats basically admitted that they rely heavily on foreign donors to fund their ballot initiative campaigns. Now, foreigners cannot donate to most campaigns. It's illegal. Check out that full story. Go to MontanaTalks.com and see the whole memo as well. Are you on?
Big topics, big ideas, big sky. Montana Talks.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlofsky.
Of all the attributes most common to those who are successful in life, one of the most valuable is tenacity, that dogged determination that says, in the pursuance of all that is good and right and just, I will not give up until I succeed. We've seen it in people like William Wilberforce, who spent more than 20 years in the British Parliament fighting to end the slave trade. And we've seen it closer to home when the Montana Family Foundation spent 6 years fighting for legislation that would legalize school choice in Montana. After the initial bill passed, we spent another 3 years in court defending the legislation against the powerful education lobby. In all, the battle took 9 long years, 6 years legislating and 3 years in litigation, culminating in a landmark win at the U.S. Supreme Court that not only secured educational freedom for students in Montana, but also nullified religiously discriminatory language in 38 state constitutions. Now, we find ourselves in another battle. This week, Montana Family Foundation Chief Legal Counsel Derek A. Stryker filed suit against the state of Montana in an attempt to overturn CI 128, the radical amendment that not only legalizes abortion in Montana, but erases every single legislative protection for the unborn and permits abortion up to the moment of birth. The lawsuit filed on Tuesday in Yellowstone District Court asserts that a plain reading of Article 14, Section 9 of the Montana Constitution requires that the full text of any proposed constitutional amendment be printed in full on the ballot. This never happened. Voters instead were presented with a watered-down summary of the amendment written almost entirely by Planned Parenthood's lawyers. For those who may not recall, the Attorney General wrote an accurate ballot statement as required by law, but that statement was thrown out by Montana's liberal Supreme Court, and Planned Parenthood's watered-down statement was substituted in its place. A ballot statement is fine, but it's no substitute for the amendment itself. And once again, the Constitution requires that the amendment in its entirety be printed on the ballot. To assert, as others have, that the full text of the amendment may be too complicated for voters to understand is simply offensive and condescending. During a debate on this exact issue in the 1972 Constitutional Convention, Delegate Chet Blalock made a solid argument. He said, quote, "If we're going to submit this entire Constitution to the people of Montana for their adoption or rejection, and we don't consider it to be too complicated for them to make a decision, certainly we should be able to submit one amendment or more at a time to them later on," end quote. One of the great principles that undergird a representative republic such as ours was clearly articulated by the U.S. Supreme Court in the case of Minnesota v. White when they said that voters have both the right and the responsibility to cast informed votes. Yes, the Secretary of State does send out a voter information pamphlet over a month before Election Day, but most of those find their way to the bottom of a stack of mail and are never read. Sadly, that pamphlet is the closest many voters will ever come to seeing the full text of a constitutional amendment. Ballot statements alone just don't cut it. It's time that we reassert the plain language of the Constitution and go back to printing the full text of proposed amendments on the ballot itself, not just for CI 128, but for all ballot initiatives, so that the people of Montana can once again cast fully informed votes. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlofsky reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right, coming up in the 7 o'clock hour of the show, Becky Hillier joining us. Always gives us a great look at the bright side of things here on Freedom Friday. And then, of course, speaking of Freedom Friday, George Blackard in the house in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. We'll be sneaking in your phone calls, as always, on Freedom Friday as well. And then the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking rodeo. Rodeo Billings kicks off next week. First outdoor rodeo in a long time for Montana's biggest town. Very excited about that. Becky will give us a preview. Wait till you hear about the incredible guests we're going to have in the 9 o'clock hour. Becky will tell us here in just a few.
A message from Fire Safe Montana. It has been indicated that Montana is headed towards a significant wildland fire season. Now is the time for you and your community to begin your fuel mitigation efforts. Neighborhood meetings, fuel mitigation around your property, planning escape routes, practicing the route. Right now is the time for action. Your local emergency management agency can be contacted for more information. This message brought to you by FireSafe Montana and aired by the Montana Broadcasters Association.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.